From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session. And I cannot tell you how thrilled I am to announce that this one is actually in person. Joining me today, out in support of a brand new record called Borrowed Time, is Joe Troop. Hello, sir. Welcome.
Eric, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. It is so nice to have you actually here. This is not a Zoom session or a Microsoft Teams session, but like here in the flesh. It is a wonderful thing.
It's Thanks awesome, a lot. Man. With all the screen fatigue, this is a nice moment in it.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's talk a little bit about your background before we get to some music and try to connect the dots for folks who might be unfamiliar with Joe Troop. They might be familiar with the Grammy-nominated Che Apalache.
Yeah, that was my band, or is my band.
Yeah, tell me, is it a was or an is?
Oh, that's a good question, you know? Like, the world before the pandemic seems like a very distant reality. There's not much processing of artist visas. You know, they've got bigger fish to fry. They're processing asylum seekers' visas and there's the hopes of immigration reform on Capitol Hill now, and that's what's taking, obviously, that's a priority. But P3 visas for musicians from Argentina and Mexico are not top priority, so we're on hiatus. Yeah. So I'm, you know, kind of heading out alone at the time being, and I have formed another trio based in Louisiana.
Oh, wow. A little easier to just deal with.
Well, having an American-based band is definitely it takes a couple factors out of play that have always been really tough to mitigate, you know. It's a lot less risky than having a band that has to come from 5,000 miles away. So
I guess I want to work sort of backward in time, because Che Apalache like formed about a decade ago, a little bit more than a decade ago, right? Somewhere around 2010.
It began to form, yeah, because I formed the band with my students and I began to teach them in 2011. So yeah, it was a decade in the making.
And your reason for being in Argentina was what exactly?
Well, I lived in Spain as a teenager, and my best friends were Argentinian, and they had come from the city of Buenos Aires. So I just kind of wanted to go see where they were from, and then at the time, the shoe fit. Hmm. I needed the anonymity of an urban setting to experience something new. You know, I'm a novelty seeker. So I was a decade in Buenos Aires, and then the pandemic landed me back in North Carolina. So I don't know why I was down there. I just ended up being, I don't know why I exist. I'll be quite honest. I don't know why we are even here, but it was definitely like something I flowed with. And plus I identify a lot with Latin America, with South America, with Central America, with Mexico. I'm talking about such a vast territory, but Argentina, or namely the city of Buenos Aires, is very cosmopolitan. There's people from all over Latin America there. So my circles in Argentina were very diverse too. So.
And that's considerably different than the rural area that you come from.
Yeah, it's not the Piedmont of North Carolina, that's for sure. It's definitely it's definitely different, but I'm a chameleon. I can wear a lot of different hats. That's just how I am naturally. I think life is a stage, you know what I mean? I don't buy into the whole idea of identity and how you wear that social identity, you know. In North Carolina, like, my identity is supposed to be, my idea of being a bohemian is like having a potluck or a bring a dish at 6:30 on a Sunday afternoon or something, you know. Like, that's not my style. Yeah. I wasn't gonna wear that hat for too long. You got to meet people where they are. And if you're an itinerant person like myself, you find some sort of flow state and try to make other people feel comfortable. It's code switching, man. Yeah. It's just code switching.
And we kind of lucked out with your availability to drop by and visit with us, because you are not, in fact, out on a tour right now. You've been doing some work in Eastern Washington.
Yeah, I've been up and down the West Coast, but right before this, I was in the Tri-Cities area.
Like Pasco, right?
Yeah, yeah, I was in Pasco. I did a performance in Pasco, and we also went out to a little town called Procer that's out there. And I was with the United Farm Workers Foundation, and I have been, I guess, peeking my head into the farm labor organizing struggles in the United States. I was always curious about the West Coast, you know, because we've heard about Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta and United Farm Workers and all their trials and tribulations and achievements, but it's a very different situation in the, you know, in the Midwest and in the South where I'm from. So I've been working on the East Coast with you know, the Farm Labor Organizing Committee in Baldemar Velasquez, and doing a documentary film on him actually and playing music with him. This is a long story. Sorry, listeners, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But anyway, so like I got this hankering to learn about the people who put food on our tables and realize that they have many of them are immigrants or seasonal farm workers from Latin America. And, you know, I've spent a lot of time in Latin America. Yeah. And so anyway, my whole, what I'm exploring right now in my life is basically that, how to use my musical platform to illuminate what's happening with them. And that's why I'm on the West Coast. Before I came up to Washington, I was in this California, and I got to meet people down in the San Joaquin Valley and hear about their struggles. But prior to that, I was in Mexico in a migrant shelter in Nogales, wow, Sonora, for a month. And I'm going back there right now. So,
wow. So some of this, the migrant issues, shows up on the new record, as do quite a few other topics that are somewhat pointed in terms of your approach to writing about them, singing about them.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear a tune. My guest is Joe Troop. His new record is called Borrowed Time. It's out on Free Dirt Records. You can find information on his website, joetroop.com. What do you want to play first for us, and what can you tell us about the tune?
Well, this is called The Red, White, and Blues, and it's, I guess, my coping mechanism, my way of processing what it's like to be back in the United States and unpack this identity, unpack this white Appalachian man identity that I have found myself in. And being back here, this song just kind of came out naturally. I first heard of Davy Crockett on a Japanese TV, while sitting in my living room with a bowl of mac and cheese. More butter, please. Is how it sure look good on me. Top of the morning, operator, patch me through to Uncle Sam. I got laid off this Christmas Eve, and I overcooked the ham. He'll understand I need a helping hand. I got the red, white, and blue. From my head down to my shoes. Lord, I wish I had a nickel for every time a car broke down. It won't pass the emissions test for robbing every shop in town. And now my lungs are brown, I need an ultrasound. Them yuppies sure love money, I bet they think they've come real far. Me, I'm happy singing country songs, picking my guitar down at the bar, sans caviar. I got the red, white, and blue. From my head down to my shoes. Life is an unfortunate disease. It rears you up on fairy tales, then it clubs you in the knees. Roll up your sleeves. Tinkerbell ain't what she seems, but death, a happy ending we'll wait. You only have to smoke 2 packs a day and drink your whiskey straight. Don't hesitate. Is great at the red, white, and blue. From my head down to my shoes, I got the red, white, and blue. from my head down to my shoes.
That is Joe Troop, Red, White, and Blues from his new record called Borrowed Time, playing for us today on JPR Live Sessions. Information can be found at his website, joetroop.com. Thanks for playing, man.
Yeah, man, that was fun.
It has been quite a period of time for anyone who does what you do, making music, with things canceled and rescheduled and up in the air. But you've got this other life now as well, doing activism work and trying to get the word out about causes that you care about. How are you balancing those two halves of the coin?
I was born in squirrel mode. I never could figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up. I still haven't. So I just kind of, I do what I feel like doing. I basically live like that. I do have a lot of energy and I just do what I think I should be doing at the moment. And, you know, the screaming injustices of the times have just propelled me into this, full-fledged artivist kind of, yeah, that's the word, man. Yeah. I learned that last year. Art meets activism. So that's just what I want to do. It's my way of processing the world too and trying to help. You know, I mean, part of activism is being effective, you know, and you have to tie what you're doing with grassroots organizations so that it does have an effect.
As you embrace that idea, the artivism idea, do you find that it is opening doors for Joe Troop, the performer, or does it kind of
close
some?
A lot too? Yeah. You know, I'm no longer deemably family friendly. I never was, you know, because I'm a dirty homosexual, but you know, like you know, and I cuss a lot. I'm from a family that cusses a lot. So I'm going to temper that today because I know we're on NPR. Yeah, I'm doing you a favor. But, you know, sometimes, you know, once I got a whiskey in me or something, it might I might let some things fly. But I'm from a very violent place and I grew up with a lot of, you know, I just grew up with a lot of cussing. So I can try to do the, you know, the thing that people want to be done, but it's just, it's all like in some sort of illusion, what you project as your public persona and what you really are, you know. It's just, it's a weird thing, man. And being an activist, like some people react to that word and they cringe. And at this point, every time I have any like ego driven questioning about what other people might think of me, I just think back on migrants or I think on, African Americans in Alamance County, and I'm just like, okay, thy burdens are greater than mine, like the, you know, Stanley Brothers gospel song says.
Growing up gay in the South and getting a foot into the bluegrass community, which doesn't seem like it is maybe the most welcoming community, how did both of those things kind of get started for you? I mean, I'm fascinated by trying to figure out, like, were your parents like motivational for you to like get out and represent people and try to make a difference, or like where did both of those things?
No, hell no. they're you know, North Carolina staunchly conservative people.
It was like a Doc Watson meeting that kind of got you interested in the music part, but I'm wondering how you got real interested in the activism part.
Activism was because, I mean, if I trace it back, I inevitably get to the point, yeah, it's because I'm gay. You know, that's probably has something to do with it. Because I saw the incongruencies in my surrounding world and quickly realized that people were dumb and that society was dumb. And so I didn't really have much of an option. I just left. That's what I did in my adult life. At 19, I left. And I hadn't really come back until the pandemic. Yeah. I lived all around the world.
Spain and Japan,
and Argentina. With a lot of traveling to other places in there too. And, you know, just like scraping by and doing what I had to do, you know, always with music or English. I've done a lot of translating, a lot of teaching, interpreting.
So you leave, you take the bluegrass skills and knowledge that you've got as a musician, you land elsewhere. I'm thinking most recently the years you spent in Argentina. Mm-hmm. How did that go? Like, did you land and feel comfortable musically, or was it a real challenge to figure out how to blend you and them?
I mean, my comfort zone is feeling uncomfortable, honestly. That's why I'm struggling in the States, because I think the whole middle-class zeitgeist here is to be overly comfortable, and that just, like, that ruins people, and they don't even know it, because they think, they have creature comforts, and it's hyper-materialistic. As far as economically, how do I sustain being down there? Well, Chinese instrument dealers would send package deals to Buenos Aires music shops, including a, you know, like a 5-string banjo. People would pass by the store window. They'd be like, what the hell is that? They'd get a banjo. Then they'd look online, banjo teacher, boom, there's me.
All right.
And that's how I just got a lot of banjo students, including the guys I formed Che Apalache with. Yeah.
Well, I see that you've got not only your guitar here in the studio with us, but also your banjo. I'm hoping that you might be able to play us something on that as well.
Yeah, the banjo is my principal instrument, so I'm glad I'm going to do that now.
My guest is Joe Troop. His new record is called Borrowed Time, just out on Free Dirt Records. Information is at joetroop.com. You can also find the Che Apalache record called Rearrange My Heart, nominated for Best Folk Album at the Grammys in, what, 19? Or was it a 20 nomination?
2019, yeah.
What do you want to play next?
Well, I'm going to do a song called Hermano Migrante, which means Brother Migrant. And it's a song I tailor-made for migrants. And it's all in Spanish except for one little line in English, which kind of gives you an idea of what it might talk about. Hermano Migrante. En mi tierra natal, andando por la sierra, cuestionando leyendas propagadas sin fin. Una pena inquietante al güerito me sigue, como era la gente que ya estaba aquí. Estados Unidos, su pasado apesta, desde siempre detesta admitir la verdad. Nuestra tierra querida se fundó con mentiras. Hijo, solo es nuestra por saber bien robar. Nacer en otro lado, dice no eres de aquí, mientras sin tus esfuerzos ni podrían vivir. Gritan calla migrante, esperanza no hay. Do you work without papers? Keep us fed and go die. Yo te veo migrante y me conmueve tu lucha, aguantando torturas en mi tierra natal. Sociedad descarada, ni le entra a la mente que este gran continente es tu tierra ancestral.
Just fantastic. fantastic. That Thank is you. Joe Troop playing for us today on JPR Live Sessions. Hermano Migrante is from the new album called Borrowed Time, out on Free Dirt Records. You can find information at joetroop.com. Well, I know over the years the Grammys has gotten it wrong categorically over and over and over and over, but it feels like they actually sort of got it right with Che Apalache by putting you guys in folk, because despite your bluegrass background, folk music is what you're creating in that group, multicultural folk music.
Yeah.
And that really sounds like what you're making on this new solo record as well, because it runs the gamut of sounds and genres.
Yeah, folk music is tied with activism. It really is, you know. So I love to identify as a folk musician, honestly. When you're out and about and you're really sharing music across the world and across, you know, different communities in the United States, no one knows what it is, and that's beautiful. I mean we can't know everything. That's what's so stunning about humanity. Is that's why it's hard to give up on it, is because it's so diverse and so many beautiful cultures and traditions. I'm perpetually fascinated by it, you know. So
there's, you know, there are shades of world music, folk music, bluegrass music on this, songs about climate change, human-caused environmental destruction, governmental inaction, the American bail system, the issues of migrants. Any concern, like maybe not yours, but any concern about how to place this album?
I don't care about any of that stuff.
No?
You know, I mean, the record labels certainly do. Yeah. At this point in my life, I'm just going to do what I'm going to do anyway. I don't let people tell me what to do anymore. It's because, you know, like, oh, you know, like I've dealt with the whole gamut of, like, we don't know how that really is going to, you know, white men basically saying, we don't know how Latin Americans are going to react to this. I'm like, well, of course you don't, because you don't know anything about them or have any contact with them. So leave it to me, baby cakes. Get off my back. Well, this is ridiculous. Like, you know, America is the put it in a box culture. And it never was that. It's not a put it in the box place. You have a bazillion boxes out there. This is the best hope for this country is the arts and bohemian culture.
Well, musically, this record is fantastic. The messages are powerful. It's a wonderful project, and I'm really grateful you had time to stop and chat with us.
Man, I'm glad to be here, and I hope that I can come back to this area at some point with a band.
Yeah, that'd be great, man.
Whichever band it is.
We'll work on trying to make that happen. Hey, before you play one last tune for us, I want to leave you with a quote from you.
Okay.
I think it's yours, which I love, and I think it's a great way to wrap up our session today. You got to usher people into the right side of history sometimes.
Yeah, you do. Ushering them into the right side of history? How do we do that? I'm exploring ways to maybe try. I hope other people are too, but no one has an answer. So that's the other problem. There's no clarity also.
Pretty good crew on this record. Bela Fleck, Abigail Washburn, the great Tim O'Brien. A surprising name for the kind of music that you create. Charlie Hunter.
Oh, Charlie's awesome.
Charlie's great. Yeah,
he settled in North Carolina recently, and you know, he's a product of the Bay Area back when it was cool. And he played on the last song that I'm going to play on this session, The Rise of Dream of Caldwell. And when I tried to go up and pay him for his work after the session, he said, give it to Dreama.
Oh, right.
And I think that speaks to what, you know, Charlie's MO is, you know. Yeah. He's a good guy.
Cool.
Real good guy.
You mentioned the tune that Charlie Hunter plays on the record. And I think that's the tune that you're going to wrap up
with
today.
Yeah, The Rise of Dreama Caldwell.
Is there a short way to introduce this, or does it require kind of a long introduction?
You know what? Dreama Caldwell, look her up. Watch the music video that was produced for this video. I was able to leverage some finances, but I was not that involved in the making of the video. They're an incredible crew of people, a community-driven effort out of North Carolina, one of the most prolific hotbeds of nasty racism you will find against African Americans in the United States. From right there came this video and this woman, my friend Dreama Caldwell, and everyone should know who she is. So do your research. I'm sure everyone knows how to Google at this point. So, you know, do it. Dreama Caldwell. Alamance County Jailhouse, back in 2015. In a place where the biggest crooks get off scot-free. A hard-working mama went weak in the knees. his 40,000 cash bill, an outlandish decree. The escorting officer startled as well. He said, "Your magistrate, pardon, but that's an awfully high bill." He said, "I meant what I said. She pays up or gets jailed." And such was the harsh fate of Dreama Caldwell. Dreama managed a daycare until one summer's day, when another employee made a tragic mistake. A child was left on the school bus, a close call but still grave. The Dreama wasn't at fault, she was destined to pay. When they issued a warrant, she went and turned herself in, and fell prey to a venomous magistrate's whim. Her kinfolk knew of a bondsman, found a way to post bail. She went home in exchange for a mountain of debt. Sheriff Johnson wants Bayberry, thinks Andy Griffith is real. Another twisted old man with cold-hearted ideals. His prison's raking in millions, stealing bonds from the poor. He takes great pleasure exacting what they cannot afford. Dreama was counseled to take a plea deal, which meant three woeful nights locked in concrete and steel, where she stared a sick system point blank in the eye, and vowed come hail or high water, one day she'd watch it die. After serving her sentence, life was never the same. With a criminal record tethered tied to her name, or the death growl of Dixie amidst a brutal firestorm, Dreama Caldwell has risen and she's demanding reform.
Fantastic tune.
Thanks, man.
A great way to wrap up. That's called The Rise of Dreama Caldwell. My guest today on JPR Live Sessions is Joe Troop. His new record out on Free Dirt Records is called Borrowed Time. Information can be found at joetroop.com. Joe, great to meet you. Thanks for dropping by.
Eric, thanks a lot for having me, man. It was a blast.